And this is the Podcasterbia Blacklist Podcast for this week's episode, Dr. Lewis Powell, number 130. I'm Brian, joined by Dave, and we are not who we appear to be.
This episode threw a lot of wrenches in our works here.
Yeah, some of our little theories that we have been planning are gone.
Which is good.
Which I'm glad. And there was a lot going on in this episode that I texted you during. I'm like, okay, I figured out how this is going to end. Not exactly how it's going to end, but I had the gist of what was going on pretty early. It was no surprise, the whole Vontae thing.
Yeah, that was, I called that.
As it was happening when I called it.
It was like deep fake.
Yeah, we're pushing deep fakes. We're pushing my, hashtag not everyone's, is who they appear to be. Anthem this year in every episode, and we just keeps going. I mean, it's almost excessive at this point, to the point where they're doing it so much that then they'll give us reality at the end and we won't see it coming because we're going to think it's completely something else. That's my only reason for why they are pushing this so hard every episode of people aren't who they appear to be. I mean, it starts right off the bat with the deep fake and the then you have, Dr. Lewis Powell, which I called, I wrote that early in my notes, that I think this guy's dead already, because they were so...
They showed that quick glance of him, and I'm like, he looks sure like the guy that had the bomb strapped to his chest.
I saw that too. Yeah, I thought
that
too.
That's what's going on here?
Yeah, that was a weird casting that you cast the two guys to play it, and yeah, that little shot where you saw just the side of his face, and yeah, he did look a little like the guy that had the bomb not strapped to his chest, slash strapped to his chest. But yeah, it opens up with that, really cool scene. Try to get maybe one of these ripped from the headlines things where cops shoot first, and well, not really first, but they were triggers ready to go on that
well
guy.
I mean, it was
they had what they thought was a legit bomb threat, and a guy who they believe they had a detonator, even though he's screaming it's just my phone and wasn't doing anything with it. But that is what it is. Not going to get political on that, but yeah. And then you have the whole need to test Frankie, because it starts with Dembe and Red talking about who they're going to bring in, and then Cooper wants to bring in Agent Park, and I'm like, who the hell is Agent Park?
Yeah,
I wrote that down. I'm like, and I was hoping you would say, oh yeah, she was in like this episode. That's, I have no idea who she is.
Yeah.
But they were treating her like she's been in the show all along, and I feel dumb if she was in it. So I know our listeners are good about reminding us about people that we can't quite place, but I have no recollection of this woman and the way she comes in. But then I started to wonder, as I'm jumping to the end, that even the whole thing with Frankie was just a ruse for the viewer, and that Park was being tested this whole time. But it didn't go that way.
I was astounded at the Frankie resolution.
Yeah. This was a character I thought we were going to roll with for a long time, and it feels like she just got written out. This feels like a write out of the series. Like, they're like, you know what? We don't either like this character, we don't like this actress, or we have nothing more to do with her, so we're writing her out. That's what it feels like, because it's a weird thing. Or they just and the way Agent Park comes in all of a sudden. This feels like this is a, oh shoot, this actress can't commit to us for the whole season. We got to get her out of here and let's replace her with somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. Cause yeah, it was really weird resolution.
The episode three or four ago about the whole anniversary dinner that he called and he figured out that she was like not doing whatever.
Yeah.
There's no
reason for any of that. You're building a character mystery for a character that mystery doesn't get resolved, and now she's just gone. Yeah. So this feels like this actress did something and they had to get her out of the show.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me, which is unfortunate because I really liked the little mystery we had with her, and we were trying to figure out her involvement. We had all these theories. Some of our listeners have posted the theories as well on Facebook that they think, she might be the illusionist. It would have worked out great that if she was, that would have been a real a good misdirection for the show to try to play that all the way through. I thought this was going to be the episode where we were going to get that, the way it was going, and that maybe she would kind of make a last-minute escape, and almost did. But, you know, then gets into, you know, a Mortal Kombat fight with Agent Park, who, like I said, I mean, who is this character? And she's introduced with heavy screen time. More screen time than Wrestler, almost more screen time than Liz. I mean, she was heavy used in this episode to bring this character in. And like I said, in a way that we are almost supposed to know who she was. And then, you know, it cliffhangs with a little bit of a mystery about her in Anchorage. So I don't want to say I'm confused. I'm just, it's weird how this happened, because this feels like some rewrites took place and they scrambled to fill a character role.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, it was odd, because we liked the Frankie character and we liked the storyline.
Yeah, it was neat. We wanted to see where it was going to go. She had a background. It would have fit. She would have made sense on the team.
Yeah. And then I think it's like, you know, the writers, like, you know, those podcast derby guys are hitting it too close. We got to throw them off. So we just got to get rid of a character and introduce a character. They have no idea who it is, and just throw them off the scent for a while, because they're hitting too close. That's the only explanation I have.
That's it.
And it's not just us. Our listeners were on it too. So
did you get a little... the introduction between Wrestler and Park, a little brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh yeah. They were definitely building a relationship here. Like I wrote it, like, it seems to be infatuated with him, with Wrestler, and just, where is it? Yep. That's exactly the word I used.
I actually wrote down brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah. But, so. But he was welcome to that. And yeah. And then we get them in the car and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to develop this relationship. Arm's got his freaky relationship, which you and listeners are hitting nail on the head with this woman, that she is just a thrill seeker. And this, you know, came full on out, because we were kind of going back and forth last week about it. You were on the side that she's just a thrill seeker and this is going to become one of those things that Arm's like, you know, he's too straight laced and can't handle it. And you were dead right. And I was not on that board. A lot of our listeners were. So, yeah, I was wrong on that one. But
that is, I want to touch on that one for a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
If she breaks his heart, I am going to have my heart broken. I mean, I wrote down on this, Aram is not a replacement for your husband, lady.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. As she talked about, this is all the stuff I used to do with my husband. And that means that she's looking to replace her husband with him. And I get kind of the whole, you know, my husband's dead outside and that makes me dead inside. I get it.
Yeah.
No,
you're right. So you can almost see it could go in a direction where she finds somebody else that she can replace husband with that is even more somebody she can relate to than Arm. I mean, because, yeah, the introduction of the characters, and they have that intense scene where they go through, you know, she's in the thing with the diamonds or whatever, and he breaks her out, and it's, you know, all exciting, and from here on out, she's crazy lady who's just doing all these crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, she's living on the adrenaline high.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm starting to back off my thoughts that she's connected to something else and that this is just a Arm storyline. It's still going to involve Samar coming back.
Well, I think we actually got a clue to that.
We did.
In this episode.
Yep. Yeah. I want you to talk about that. Yeah. I thought so too.
You want me to talk about it?
Go for it.
Well, the mystery Israeli
yep.
person that comes over for dinner to talk shop.
Yep.
That was like, even Park was like, what the hell is this about? And he just blows it off.
Yep.
It was like, huh. Huh.
Yep, absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah, all of a sudden we got Israeli intelligence coming back into the mix, and who do we know from Israeli intelligence that we've seen in this show? Because the other characters that we were introduced to got eliminated.
They're all dead.
So she's the only one that's left. So unless they're going to introduce some other character to throw us off, there's your clue. So yep, she's coming back sooner rather than later, which could be real soon. Because we're coming up to the Thanksgiving break. And it could be, I think, that week's episode, that last episode before Thanksgiving. especially as we have this episode ending with Aurum kind of giving into the thrills in a way.
In a way, calculated. He pulled in a favor.
Oh God, yeah. He didn't break into the
Washington Monument. He's going to do that a few times to make it look like he's breaking, and he's really just kind of pulling in favors or using his pull.
And she catches
and
on.
And she catches on and it causes a problem. Like, yeah. I can't believe you would lie to me. I just didn't break the law.
Yep.
My choice is lying to you or breaking the law.
But we get another because we haven't had it in a little while. We get a comments about to Aurum about Samar. So you know, and him having to
actually that's two good points about Samar, because it was the Israeli thing and then this where he's like, I'm done, I moved on, I'm happy.
Yep. So that's setting up her showing up again soon. I still love the idea though of her showing up and not knowing who she is, and she's gone back to her basic training and doesn't remember anything. But if she's Cooper's contact, then she should still have most of her faculties.
Yeah.
Although I love that theory that I have. I'm still sticking to
that.
I think that would be great writing to have her be the blacklister that nobody really ever thought would be one.
Yeah, and she comes in at like number three.
Right, because she
could be.
Right, because she's so wicked, and if she loses all of her, you know, if her memories just decays to the point where she can't remember anything good that she's ever done, especially in recent years, and has no recollection of the post office folks, that would be really cool to have it be almost like a Jason Bourne type episode where they're all chasing after her, and she's leaving just a mess behind. So I think that would be cool.
Absolutely.
But Agent Park seems to be badass, which could set up for a nice Agent Park Navabi fight, because we get this. Liz isn't going to fight Navabi and win. But Park shows.
That was an interesting one, because that was rage.
Oh, I know. She just went off. She screamed, and that scream was primal. And
yeah. She was not human for a few minutes there.
That was like a conditioning kicked in. Something kicked in that she went full in, because it was a fight that was kind of seemed evenly matched. Frankie almost had a little bit of an edge on it. And then all of a sudden, yeah, she just went into this rage and just beat the crap out of her. And yeah. I thought at the end when Dembe pulls her off and says enough, I thought that that's where we were going to find out. That's why I wrote in the note, what was this whole setup, this long con, just to test Agent Park, and had nothing to do with Frankie. And she was just part of the plan as well. Red's master plan, where nobody knew what was going on. But
No. That was part of Red's fate. Going back to last week, it was the, all right, this is the way it's going to work out now.
He tested her. He proved that she didn't have any definitive loyalties to him. And it was his problem to deal with. Which is how he said it. I mean, they didn't show her actually getting shot, but they showed him shooting the gun down. So we can move on. Frankie's gone.
And they're not going to pull another Mr. Kaplan bullshit on us again. No. Oh my God, if they did that, I would be so livid.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that
he has to be gone. And just
Let's just move on from her. I mean, it sucks, because we had lots of thoughts about how she was going to go. And, you know, as we've already said in this episode, this seems more like a issue with the show creators that they had to remove the actress and the character, not a I don't think this was an intended plan.
Yeah, I don't think it was where it was going from the beginning of the season.
Like you said, that episode with the mystery anniversary and all that, you don't have all of that if you're just going to kill the character off two episodes later.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, we do have this whole deep fake stuff, which was cool, and then you get into Skynet, so to speak. You got Terminator references as well. So
it was actually an interesting ethical dilemma that I'm not sure I've really seen done in the whole robot world. The Isaac Asimovs kind of did it, of the AI, you know, where the robot recognizes I will be the one that kills the humans, and I have to find a way to destroy everything before I do that.
Right. No, it was actually really cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, ethics is a bigger, you know, it was a differential engine, but, you know, which is kind of what they are, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yep.
But to understand that and then to sacrifice, knowingly sacrifice itself.
Right. It was written in order to save lives, and it determined that its existence was harmful to lives. So in order to take care of it, it had to eliminate all those that, you know, had an influence on developing AI.
Yeah.
As it said, setting AI back decades. And then once it did that, it could erase itself and was in the process of doing that. So, no, I thought it was a neat storyline. It made the show go a little sci-fi on us. So I don't know if they're going to circle back around to, you know, giving us a little more sci-fi stuff in that aspect, because it was a little sci-fi for me, because the show's usually fairly grounded.
Yeah, it gets a little techno babble once in a while, and this was the one of the more out there.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt we're going to go anywhere beyond that. I think it's just an episode thing and move on. But again, another example of, you know, we thought this Lewis Powell was the bad guy, but it actually had nothing to do with him. It was his creation. Yeah. Was the bad guy of the episode. Let's see. We had a wonderful Apple Brown Betty with Brimley. and resulting in them going after Higgins, who's this assassin that the AI what was the AI's name? Chuck? Charles?
Oh god, I forgot. Did I not write
Clark
that down?
Clark,
Lewis and Clark.
Yep. Yeah, that's right, Lewis and Clark. They go after him, and Brimley's torture technique goes horribly wrong because his blood sugar spiked. He killed the guy. And we're laughing, but it's that guy is usually so perfect at getting information, and you could tell he was really bummed out because he knows he's so good at what he does, and the Brown Betty messed him up.
I love how he has to do the stretches beforehand, and Dembe has to help him.
He's a wonderful character. I love these little characters that Red has.
Who's the guy at the DMV? The short guy.
Yeah. I know. We're so bad with names on this show.
The listeners are screaming at us. Not Stu.
Glenn. Okay, Glenn. There you go. Yep. Yeah,
I knew it was like a one syllable.
Yep. Glenn was last year. We had for several episodes, and he was great. And but Brimley comes in once or twice a season, and he's a treasure when he comes in and accidentally kills the guys. and it's always great because we never see him torture the person. It's always off screen. And we always hear like what he's going to use to torture the guy.
We did the one with the snakes.
Right.
It was like that was like the only time we saw it. And it was still more illusion than anything.
It was still, kind of felt off screen. But yeah, it's usually like one of those things. I just need like a, you know, a case of dynamite and a bag of cats, and I'll leave me alone. You know, it's
three mice and a bowl of figs. Let's go.
Yeah, it's two weird things that make no sense, and your imagination goes with it, and he gets info.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gosh, you know, there was a lot in this episode. The episode felt chunky to me. It just felt like it didn't feel like it flowed. Did you get that sense? Like it just felt it felt like a lot of scenes, and I'm like trying to piece it together, and I felt like it was all over the place.
Almost strobe light effect.
Yeah.
Of,
good call. Yeah.
Now you're here. Now you're there. Now you're here. Now you're there. Now you're back. Now you're here. Now you're there. And it was, oh my God, what's going on?
Now you're with these people. Now you're doing this story. It felt like a lot of little stories just slammed together. I mean, it came together in a way, but
it's exactly what it was. It was a lot of little stories. The bad guy of the week, which was actually a computer.
Yep.
Had very little screen time, less than the normal short bad guy of the week. This was all about Park and whatever this transition for this character and actress.
Right, whatever we're doing here, introducing this new character, and like I said, I feel like we're missing something. I wrote that in my notes. It's just like, where did she come from all of a sudden that she is on everybody's mind?
They're going to get like this episode next week going, we need to retcon because we aired these two episodes out of order.
That's happened in shows. It does happen. Yeah. I've seen that.
Oops.
It's weird that, cause I felt we should have gotten some small introduction to her, and we very well may have. And it was like season three and we just all forgot. But I'm sure I know our listeners will let us know.
She had no clue who he was.
Right. And she had no idea that they were working with him.
Well, until this episode. Liz had said, I've briefed her. She now knows what's going on. But did we know even that they were looking to replace Samara? I mean, that was kind of the thing, is it suddenly like, I've got this headcount I need to fill. I'm like, she's been gone for
a while. Yeah.
A year.
Since
almost.
Mid last season or towards the end of last season. Well, yeah.
Aram said like 10 months since she disappeared or something.
Yeah.
Ago.
Yep.
So, you know, in Blacklist time, that's like 14 years.
Exactly. It's a long time. I know. Agnes is in high school now.
Yeah. They just assign like arbitrary times to how long it takes to do something because they all have their own personal FBI issued TARDISes.
Oh God, I know this show and its timelines. We actually haven't complained much about the timelines this season, but usually we're on it because it drives us crazy. We did have another. We talked about Brimley being back, but we also had several of the people. The cleaners showed up, you know, because the traffic was a mess, and Red's like, I don't want to hear it. Just do that. But then we had Tadashi, the his little teenage hacker guy. Kind of solving the problem. So just a reminder of Red's organization, which is always good. We haven't seen Boz come back, though, and it was never clear if he died or not in that shootout with the Mr. Kaplan chase at the end of her storyline.
He did get shot.
But we don't know if he was actually... we don't know if he was actually killed. We haven't seen him since. So I
know the actor is still alive because I follow him on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, he's alive, yeah. And that's his real name, right? And he's like a former like Marine sniper or something like that too. He's like a
I think he's like actually like
or some special
like
forces
stuntman, stunt coordinator that just ended up
right
being like in an acting role, if I'm not mistaken.
But I knew he had a career in military, so he's like one of those people that also like shows actors how to use guns properly and do things that. So, but yeah, anyway, we haven't seen him in a while. So remind us of him because we always liked him. Like, he would have been great in that scene when they went out to Dominic's place and have him part of that shootout, because we always had him in those scenes where Red's got to, you know.
He was kind of Red's number two.
He was
more like with Dembe as his bodyguard, but Boz was like leader of the militia.
Yeah, he would take care of all the assault teams that Red needed. If Red needed an assault team for something, this guy would take care of it. So.
Yeah.
Okay. We had Vonte back. So, you know, just all these little people in Red's organization, just to remind us that they're all
still there.
We've
seen him this season.
We haven't seen him in a while, and it has not been this season. So, it was good to see him. And I knew right away again, too, that this was all part of the setup, because there's no way they bring him back just to have him be the one
to betray.
He has a loyalty to Red that will never break. Which is why they tried to rope-a-dope us with it and try to make it surprising. Oh my God, he's the one doing it, but no way. That character is too tight with Red, and that'll never happen.
Have you read War and Peace? Someone who listens to us has to have read War and Peace. There was some sort of parallel or allegory there between what they were talking about with those characters, because I don't know.
I am sure there was connection with War and Peace in this episode. Absolutely. I have not read it in years, and it was probably a Cliff Notes thing just to get through the test. I have not actually read that book.
I read the Peanuts version, where Snoopy decided to read it one word at a time.
That's awesome.
It did. It starts out the comic, I'm only reading this one word at a time, and then it's the end of the comic.
it's too much. That's a lot to take on. So, yeah. But let's see. Okay. So, yeah, that whole thing was a long con there. And, but yeah, the whole thing with Park at the end, you know, she happens to be there at the end to tell Red that she would never work with him.
This podcast is a lot like the episode. We are all over the place. Like the episode was all over the place.
And we usually are. I mean, we usually are. And that being said, people that have reviewed our show, please go, if you haven't, go do that. But people like that about us, that we're not linear and that we just jump to the point. So
yeah,
I like that we do that too. I've listened to some other review shows, not just of this show, but other shows. And it's like, it's too linear. And it's like, I like the jumping around because let's just talk about it. We all just watched it. What the hell do we need to recap it for?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal is that we assume you've seen it.
Yep. But yeah, that Park just shows up there at the end. So she could have the fight scene, so she could tell Red off and say, I'll never work for somebody as brutal as you, when she showed how brutal she is.
She's standing there with blood all over her face. God.
Yeah, I hated that character up until that scene, though, because I'm like, okay, this is adding an element that we don't have in this show.
that was basically Wolverine going,
yeah,
I'm a pacifist. you know, or Deadpool going, I gotta go to church.
You know, it's funny though.
It was like, what the hell?
She reminded me of the actress that played in X2, that was the one against Wolverine, that also had the metallic, or the healing thing. It was an amazing X-Men 2, the second one from forever ago. It was the one that worked with Stryker. And she was also like, you know, she fought Wolverine because she had things that came out of her claws too. She had like the claws.
I don't remember.
Yeah, the actress, it kind of reminded me of that, especially when she went into rage mode. I'm like, it just reminds me of that character. But she said, you know, then Red's like, she's in, I want her. You know, she's got to be on the task force. And she says, I'll agree to it to Liz, but I got to tell you about Anchorage, and that's our cliffhanger. So will we get an episode titled Anchorage just to give us backstory?
Anchorage is near where Wolverine was kept for the X-12 project.
Is that true? Is that where Alkali Lake is?
It's somewhere in Canada, and Anchorage is near Canada.
Sure. It's in the North American continent, therefore it's close. And in Blacklist time and space, it's right around the corner. So we've already gotten sci-fi Terminator in this episode. Next week it's Park is Wolverine.
Wolverine Doctor Who. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over. All over the place, just like this episode. So, all right, you have any last minute thoughts? Anything we didn't touch on? I got no predictions right now because I got to see more about this character because I'm worried that anything we've been predicting.
She was out of the blue.
Yeah,
so nothing. Is she a setup? Is she an elaborate ruse? Because for a while, I recognized the deep fake immediately. But I always had this, what are they trying to make us look at that we're not looking at? And is the actual traitor supposed to be Park, and Katarina is trying to get Park onto the system, into the team, so that she can get to.
Yeah.
And I don't think so, but I kind of had that because it just felt so sudden with her.
Well, that's what I mean. It felt like,
I think that would have had to have come out in this episode, because with Frankie dying, it's weird,
right? Because it felt like one of those, like a Star Trek episode where you introduce a new character for the episode that's like, where the hell was this person on the ship all along? You know, now they're here and they're like a prominent character and they die at the end, you know, or they get reassigned, and it just
Ashley Judd. Yeah,
yeah, you get those in lots of shows do this, but this one obviously is setting up a future character that's going to be here, but really out of the blue, when you already had an established character like Frankie that could have kind of slid into this role and would have worked well on the team.
Yeah.
You know, especially given all that she is, but just to have her, you know, kind of go bad on us all of a sudden and then just kill her off, it's odd. I'm going to look it up because there's got to be something that explains why the actress was written out of the show. Okay, so, all right. I mean, I got nothing else. But lots of conversation we've been having on Facebook. So definitely, if you haven't joined us there, look for us there and get in that conversation. But you could also go ahead and email us. We'll take emails. We do get them at blacklist@podcastderbia.com. And hit us up on Facebook at Podcasterbia or Twitter at Podcasterbia. We'll take conversation in all those areas. And if you haven't reviewed the show yet, please do it. Go on Apple Podcast. Give us some stars. Give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And we do appreciate all of those. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. I am Brian and he is Dave. And we'll see you all next time.